Yeah, we're playing well. We're playing with confidence, but we've played at home for like 5 games now. Playoff teams are teams that travel well. We have a tough schedule ahead of us. We'll see after that road trip.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. Today's podcast also brought to you by Wise. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at RedRock_Beeble. We're going to be looking back at the 4 games from Monday, including some big injury news in Portland, and then previewing the 10-game slate for Tuesday. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We are going to start where we always do, on a bit of a somber note though today, because the winner of the
monstrous line of the night
is a player that we're not going to see again this season, and that is Yusuf Nurkic of the Portland Trailblazers in the double overtime victory over the Nets. Nurkic was fantastic. Let's focus on the positives first. 32-16 with 5 assists, 2 steals and 4 blocks, 13 of 24 from the field for Nurk. He was great from the line as well, 6 of 8. He's been putting together a fantastic season so far, really exceeding all expectations that anybody that drafted him in fantasy would have had. He's the 37th ranked player overall this year in only 27 minutes a night, and he'd be a top 20 guy if he got 32 or 33 a night. Unfortunately, we have absolutely zero chance of being able to see that again this season, as he went up for a rebound in the overtime period, came down, and I don't like to 100% speculate on these things. I'm going to give it 99.99999% chance. He broke his leg right through the middle of his shin. It looked like it snapped in half. It looked terrible. You can rule him out of the regular season. You can, again, 99.99% rule him out of the playoffs. You can rule him out of the beginning of next season. This is a long-term injury. Now, we thought Caris LeVert's injury was also going to be similar. Turns out it wasn't. This looks different because it wasn't his ankle hanging loose. It was. It looked like it was straight down the middle of his shin. A lot of people get freaked out by injury videos. They have real visceral reactions to them. I tweeted this out before. I don't actually have like a negative reaction to these. I think it is my health professional background, as I worked as a pharmacist for 10 plus years. Not that we saw people come in with legs hanging like that, but you know, you see these sort of things, you do it through your study, you do these things through your work. So I don't actually have a problem with seeing these injuries. You're not going to go back and rewatch them like a psychopath, but I don't have a problem with seeing these. And I look at it from a more analytic perspective to try and work out, well, that's what happened. That's bad. That's going to cause these problems. That's going to cause this. And that's the way I'm looking at this Nurkic injury. It looks terrible from a long-term perspective for the 2019, you know, not even season, calendar year. You'd be pretty doubtful to see him. We know how it's impacted Gordon Hayward. We know what the impact was on Paul George, though. Of course, he has come back stronger than ever. Paul George also isn't 7'1" and weighs over 300 pounds like Yusuf Nurkic. So that is a real concern with him long-term, with that leg injury and how that's all going to play out. Now, the question that a lot of people will want to ask, they're in their fantasy playoffs, in their fantasy finals. I'm in this same situation myself. I have Yusuf Nurkic. I got today's game, and for the rest of my final matchup, I don't. Obviously, he's cooked. So I went and added Zach Collins because Enes Kanter was already off the waiver wire. Kanter, to me, is a must-add player. He won't come in and play the 27 minutes that Nurkic was playing. I think he goes from 20 minutes to 24 minutes. He gets a couple of extra. He may remain in a bench role. He may start. Stotts could also keep him in a 20-21 minute role, but he is a must-add player. I think Mo Harkless gets a significant boost. He becomes a pretty strong 12-team league add. He played a ton of minutes in today's game. It boosts the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu, as well.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He's going to get some extra minutes. And of course, Zach Collins. And Collins is a guy I really, really like long term. I think he can be, you know, maybe top out as a top 60, top 70 guy. Is he going to be that this season? No, because I don't think that Stotts will give him 29 minutes. I think Terry Stotts will also throw Myers Leonard into the mix for between 8 to 10 or 13 minutes a game. And that's going to take, you know, some of that top off of what Collins can do. Now, if Collins played primary backup power forward and your backup center behind Enes Kanter, he could get 28 or 29 a game, which would make him an absolute must-add 12-team league guy. I just think that that's probably an unlikely scenario for Terry Stotts, that he does play him that much. But in saying that, the Blazers have quite an interesting upcoming schedule for the rest of this week. They do have three more games left, but they play again on Wednesday on a low-volume day. They play on Friday, and they play on Sunday. So he's got three more games back, avoids the heavy volume Saturday, avoids the heavy volume Tuesday, so you can get value out of him. Now, a lot of people ask me, Josh, is it Enes Kanter or Thomas Bryant? I think Thomas Bryant and JaVale McGee, if they're available, they are both top 20 players for the remainder of this week. Four games for both of those guys, and that's how strong their performances have been. I think that they can, not top 20 on a per-game basis, but on an overall value basis. But Collins, yeah, I prioritize him behind Harkless, behind Kanter, but if Stotts does go with him at 28 or 29 a night, or heaven forbid 30 a night, then he can crash the top 100 and be a value 12 team ad. For now, I'm adding him because he's got three games, three quality games left with that upside value left in a league that I'm in that Kanter is out of. That's why I'm looking at Zach Collins in that situation. So he is, it's a terrible situation for Yusuf Nurkic, obviously, and hopefully everything goes well with his recovery. It's always going to be daunting at that sort of size for him to come back from that sort of injury, but really, really terrible news to see that from a guy who had firmly cemented himself as the Blazers' second best player. Now they head into the playoffs potentially without their second and third best players, or definitely without Nurkic and CJ McCollum. He's already been ruled out for the next four games. I think that the rest of the regular season for him is in serious jeopardy, and then that first round matchup, he's either going to be not playing or significantly underdone as he comes back from a knee problem, and whoever gets the Blazers in that playoff matchup will have a significantly easier matchup than what they would have had only a week and a half ago if that team had have gone through in that area. I do have to transition from that and tell you about a fantastic new sponsor who is sponsoring this podcast, and that is the fantastic guys over at Wyze. And that Wyze is spelled W-Y-Z-E, or for those of you in America, W-Y-Z-E. Wyze is an indoor camera that does it all. It's packed with all the premium features that you'd want from only $20. It gives you 180p full HD night vision, two-way audio as well. Wyze is committed to bringing amazing smart home products that are accessible to everybody. You can connect to Wyze at any point through your smartphone, through a live stream. You can put it in your driveway. You want to check on maintenance people. You want to check on the nanny to see what they're doing when they're looking after your kids, babysitters. Whatever it is that you want to use Wyze for, to set it up in the back to see if any bears are climbing over your back fence and swimming in your pool. I know that's a thing that you guys have to go through in America, or those of us in Australia, when the kangaroos come in and steal your washing off the line. Set up your Wyze camera to make sure you check on that. They have a free rolling 14-day cloud storage with no subscriptions. So Wyze is a great camera that you can use to watch just about everything. $20 a camera, you can do whatever you want with it. Also, you can upgrade it with an extra $10 more for a 360-degree coverage. It covers 360 degrees, so all-around rotation. You can set it with its pan scan to check out the whole room. Again, that free 14-day cloud storage is a massive thing. It works with Alexa as well, streams live to your phone. And if you go to Wyze.com, which is W-Y-Z-E, depending on where you're listening from, .com/locked, that will give you the guaranteed lowest price on this new fantastic product. So W-Y-Z-E.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest product. Lowest product? No, try again. The guaranteed lowest price. All right, let's move on to the next award of the day, and that is, of course,
Waiver Wire Line of the Night.
And the Waiver Wire Line of the Night is also the Deep Leaguer of the Night, because Bruno Caboclo is rostered in 1% of leagues. Just huge from him and the whole Memphis team in that big victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. 24-11 for Bruno, a career high, 35 minutes, 4 triples, 2 assists, 1 steal and a block, 62% shooting, and he hit all 4 of his free throws. A few things there we can't rely upon. He has literally never done this before, as it's a career high, and he is not usually a good shooter. So those are things that have bumped up. And even in extended minutes, 33 minutes over his last 4 games, he's still outside the top 150, averaging 13-7. Yeah, poor free throws that have held him back in his time in Memphis. His steals and blocks, which have normally been pretty high for him, have dried up recently as well. But I think he's going to start the remainder of this season. I don't think we're seeing Kyle Anderson or Triple J return at all. And yeah, Chandler Parsons is clearly no part of a future on this team. They want to see what Bruno can do. So I think he's going to be an interesting option, at least to take a flyer on in 16-team formats and even 14-team leagues. Into 12, you're looking at him as being more of a more of a stream sort of a player. They do play Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, so they've got that interesting schedule for the rest of the week where you might be able to get three games out of Bruno, but I'm not looking at him as a must, as a must-add 12-team league sort of a guy. I said he is the deep leaguer of the night as well.
Young gun of the night.
The young gun of the night is Terrence Ferguson of the Oklahoma City Thunder, getting some pretty decent minutes at the moment, Ferguson. 36 in this one, the loss to the Grizzlies. 13 points with 3 triples, 3 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 steals. Didn't miss a shot, was 4 of 4 from the field and hit both of his free throws. He still is not a great fantasy option. He has cracked the top 150 over the last week. I'll give him that. 11 points, 2.7 threes. He's shooting the 3-ball well. He is just a 3-point streamer, and it's more for 16-team leagues. You can find a Kyle Korver, a Duke Wayne Ellington, a Landry Shamet if he's healthy. You can find plenty of 3-point streamers on the wire who I would trust more than Ferguson, but he's getting some minutes. He's getting some steals at the moment. The efficiency is pretty strong, and he's hitting these threes at a good rate, and he's taking a shitload of them as well. 6 a game over his last 3 games, converting at 44%. So that's obviously helping there. So that's, it is more deeper league stuff. 18-teamers, 20-teamers. If I had to decide in a deep league between Caboclo and Ferguson, I would probably take Bruno. But one thing's for sure, Ferguson's minutes aren't changing. He is getting big minutes every night from here on out. It all depends on what he's going to do with them. But as a 3-point streamer, he definitely has some value for fantasy leagues. I tell a man's not hot. His teammate is your dud of the night, Jeremy Grant of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Only 24 minutes because of foul trouble, 7 points and 2 rebounds. He hit a 3 and he had nothing else. No assists, no steals, no blocks. It was far from a good Jeremy Grant night. From the field, he was 3 of 8, didn't attempt a free throw. He's been strong this season, the 98th ranked player, but over the last month, I guess a bit sneaky here, outside the top 150. It doesn't really, you don't think of that. And because his shots haven't been falling, 44% from the field, including 41% over his last 7 games, that is really impacting his overall value. And part of his big value, one of his positive categories, and he only has 2 positive fantasy categories this season, blocks and field goal percentage. And when one of them goes away, and interestingly, as the field goal percentage has dropped over the last month, his blocks are down at 0.8. That doesn't make him a rosterable guy. And you've got to consider a streaming type situation for someone like Jeremy Grant, you know, whether you're going to stick with him on your roster. It all depends on how your team looks and what other players are around. I think I actually misquoted the Blazers schedule earlier, and I'm going to check on that in a second. But yeah, Grant plays again on Wednesday and Friday this week and on Sunday, so 3 more games. But the recent form drop has been a little bit disappointing for him. Now, sorry, I did misquote the Blazers schedule. They have 3 games in 4 nights starting Wednesday. They play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So Saturday's that 9-game slate, so you might not be able to get him in, but 3 games in 4 nights for those Blazers guys that I mentioned. Forget what I mentioned before about that. Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. They play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Some value there in those Blazers guys. But Jeremy Grant, you do have to consider. He does have 3 more games this week, but is this level of production actually helping you or not? In a lot of cases, the answer to that is going to be no. Now, the best net ratings of the night, Terrence Ferguson was great in a loss, plus 145.2, while DeAnthony Melton, in a massive blowout loss, he was poor. He's really, really struggled in this second half of the season. He was a negative 113.7. Injury news to talk about. I mentioned CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic already. Otto Porter, it looks like his season is done. I dropped him in a league today with that shoulder injury, which I mentioned when he hurt that rotator cuff, that really could be a longer-term thing. That's not a 1 or 2-game thing. He claims he's coming back this season. It doesn't appear like it. I think you can rule him out for this week at least. And the prison Mike Scott left today's game with a back injury for the Sixers that Ben Simmons was already out of due to illness. As for Scotty, he's only a deeper league sort of guy. If he happens to miss time, they're in a fair bit of trouble because that bench is really, really struggling in terms of their depth. Maybe you see some Jonah Bolden play at power forward there on this team, but they are in a fair bit of trouble because the depth on that Sixers squad is not strong and that bench unit is not playing that well. Let's move into the 4 games now and try and break them down in a little bit more detail. Let's swing into the first one. It is those Sixers. They got spanked by the Magic, 119-98. On the Sixers side, there was no Ben Simmons, so Timothy John McConnell started. He did absolutely nothing. 2-6-2. He doesn't have any value outside of the very, very deep leagues. You don't imagine Simmons is going to be missing too much time here. General Saunders, Jimmy Butler had 13-6-7. Embiid had 20-10. And Toby Harris had 15-4-3, but they pulled the plug with about 6 minutes to go in this game. Shout out to Shake Milton, who played 22 minutes, called up from the G League, had 13 points, shot the ball well, and looks like he can be somewhat of a player. And I wouldn't be surprised if he fits into a backup point guard role even as early as next season. He's an interesting one to watch for Dynasty Leagues. We also had DRC Zaire Smith make his NBA debut. 3 points, hit his first shot, his only shot, 6 minutes. I think finding him as an impact guy or any sort of impact guy this season is not going to happen. Next year, it's doubtful because it's all going to depend on what happens with Butler and Harris. But that wing, there is some room in that wing rotation with Jimmy Ennis and John Simmons and Furkan Korkmaz, an unrestricted free agent as well. Those guys aren't doing a ton. So maybe Smith can push into that role. JJ Redick struggled as well. And he has always done well against the Magic, but hashtag revenge game claims another victim. Nikola Vucevic, big again, 28-11-4 against his former team in 29 minutes. Fournier putting it together at the right time of the year, 24 with 7 assists, 2 steals and 2 threes. He's got another 3 games this week, 65% shooting for the for Fournier. He's worth a look in a lot of leagues. Terry Ross, it was a stinker, 7-3-3, but he likely will bounce back. Aaron Gordon, 12-8 in his time. But I guess the weirdest one here is Michael Carter-Williams. 15-6-3, 2 steals and a block in 20 minutes. Now, it helped that the game was a blowout and he got extra minutes, but he's looked better than he's looked in years in this backup role in Orlando. They signed him to a second 10-day. I'd be pretty stunned if they didn't sign him for the rest of the season. He is going to have this backup point guard role. He's ahead of Jaren Grant. Isaiah Briscoe is out. So 20-teamers, 18-teamers, shit, even 16-teamers, I think Carter Williams can be an impact guy. Now, this is probably the high watermark in his production, but it's a pretty good mark. As for DJ Augustin, I would still hold him despite the 4-2-4 in today's game. It wasn't the best of performances from Deej. Next up, the Oklahoma City Thunder lost to a Memphis team that was without Avery Bradley and Mike Conley. For the Thunder, it was 115-103. The Thunder, Paul George had 30-12 on 29 shots. That's horrible shooting percentages. Westbrook just annihilated your percentages as well. 6 of 20 and then 3 of 6 from the line. He had 16-5-7 with no defensive stats. Poor from him. Well, 37 minutes for Dennis Schroeder. They went quite small in this one with Jeremy Grant out. Markieff Morris barely played. Nerlens Noel got 3 minutes. Schroeder played a lot. 37 minutes, 25 points, 3 assists, 64% shooting. He is providing consistent 12-team value, and the minutes aren't dropping off. Well, Steven Adams, he's been a disaster, offensively at least, for the last few months. 2 points. You love the 4 steals. You love the 3 blocks. You hate the 1 of 7 from the field. It's been a weird season for Steve Adams. For the Grizzlies, my man DeLon Wright, 18-3-13 with 4 steals. Conley's out with a thigh issue. I think there's a chance he misses another game here. Bradley will be out the rest of the week. DeLon is a must-roster player in 12-team leagues, in my opinion. Justin Holiday, 2 good games in a row, 17-7-5 with 2 steals. I look at him more as a 14-team league guy. We've had months and months of him sucking ass in a massive way. But 2 good games out, it's the right time of the year. You've got to consider him as a stream guy, at least. While Tyler Dorsey, 21-8-5 in 39 minutes. I actually think he is a worthy, at least 14-team league guy. I'd prioritize him over Justin Holiday. He definitely loves to score. But when you get 8 rebounds and 5 assists out of Tyler Dorsey, that's interesting. Parsons had 8 points in his 25 minutes. His little renaissance maybe is done. Or Javon Carter, at 6 rebounds and 5 assists. You're in a 20-team league. You are frothing over those sort of numbers because that's the sort of shit that you can't get off the waiver wire on a general night, and he provided it here. My man Jonas Valanciunas also 18-14 with 2 blocks. Love this bloke, and he's putting together the numbers that I've had faith in him for doing for 4 or 5 years. The minutes are just finally coming his way now. The next game was apparently an NBA game. The Utah Jazz beat the Phoenix Suns 125-92. Devin Booker, that is huge from Booker, obviously. 41 minutes, 59 points, 5 triples, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. He took 34 shots. He hit 19 of them. He took 17 free throws. He hit 16 of them. He had a true shooting of 71%, a usage of over 50%. Now, that is one of the weirdest looking box scores you'll ever see. Not one other player in double figures, with Booker getting 59. I don't think it's all on him. In terms of, I don't think it was horrible teammate play. I don't think he was being a complete hog. He's clearly the best player in this team by a considerable margin. It is an effort of poor coaching, but there was stuff on this that just pissed me off to no end. The Utah Jazz intentionally fouling the other Suns players so Booker couldn't get to 60. The Phoenix Suns intentionally fouling the Utah Jazz so that Booker could get the ball back so he could get to 60. In a game that's decided by 33 points, it seems a bit silly. I'm also not going to get upset about it because I don't care about guys going for these points. My issue is like when Jamal Murray attempted to get that 50 against the Celtics and Kyrie when pissed in the corner of the court because he was pissed off. No, don't get 50 on me. Good on you, Kyrie. Stop him. And I don't know, no problem. Devin can go for 100 for all I care. Stop him. Just it's this. I hate the idea, and I hate it in all circumstances of basketball, that committing a foul, a infraction, a penalty is a positive. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to smack you so it benefits me. The idea of a foul is punishment, so I hate the idea of punishment actually being a positive. That's why I hate this shit. Fouling someone else so that Booker can't shoot, fouling them so you get the ball back quicker so he can jack up shots. I'm all for take as many shots as you want to get 60. Stay in the game when you're up by 30 to get to 60. Let the Jazz stop you. No problem. I do not care in the slightest. I want everyone to do it. I want everyone to rub shit in the other team's face as much as possible. I don't care. The fouling, it bothers me. It grates me the wrong way. And that's what ended up happening in this game. Jimmer Fredette, no idea why this guy's back in the NBA. No reason at all for it. No idea why he took 10 shots, the only other player to get to double digits in scoring. Hit one of them. The Utah fans were frothing over him in a massive, massive way. He shouldn't play another minute really this season if the Suns are a fair dinkum. I get that Jamal Crawford, there's no need for him to be out there. So maybe you see, but Jimmer's like 30 years old. He's proven over years and years and years that he can't play in the NBA. There is no reason for this unless they just gave him these minutes because it was back in Utah. Although that doesn't help the Suns in terms of ticket sales because it was in Utah. So I don't really understand the purpose of it. Rishon Holmes was ejected, so you would think that would help DeAndre Ayton. Not so fast. 9-7 for Ayton in 31 minutes with two steals and a block. That's a tough one. Well, McCall Bridges was poor. 1 point on 5 shots. Missed them all. 4 rebounds with a steal. I still think he can be a 12-team league impact guy, but if you're looking for points, you're obviously not getting them from McCall. Onto the Jazz, Gobert was excellent, 27-10 with 2 blocks on 82% shooting from the field and 82% shooting on the line, interestingly, both on 11 attempts. I talked about yesterday in the DFS portion that Derek Favors, if you're looking for him to have a big one, this is the opponent to do it against, and he did it, 18-8-5 with 2 blocks on 69%.
Giggity!
Big performance from Favors there. He suits plenty of 12-team teams. Jingling Joe had 14 with 7 assists. Ravishing Rick had 18 with 6 assists. It was just so much of a blowout. And again, my theory of Donovan Mitchell not taking free throws when a point guard plays with him held true. 10 points, 27 minutes, didn't take a single free throw, and was 4 of 14 from the field. Not a great night for Donovan Mitchell. But of course, this has absolutely nothing to do with would you rather Devin Booker or Donovan Mitchell, because obviously the circumstances of both teams here are completely different. I think the Booker's going to be a top 20, top 15, top 13 guy next season, maybe. Could he sneak into the back end of the first round? I wouldn't take him there. Middle of the second, no worries. In that Oladipo type zone, I think that's where he's going to be. He is putting together a very, very strong run of a form at the moment. The last game of the night was that double overtime loss by the Nets against the Blazers, 148-144. Jared Dudley, 35 minutes, 15-5-3 with 2 blocks. He was really, really good in this game. Played some extra minutes because both Ed Davis and Jarrett Allen both fouled out. I wouldn't be looking too closely at Dudley, but they did close the game with Dudley instead of getting Caris LeVert in there. And LeVert looked good, 16-3-7, but in a double overtime game playing only 24 minutes, that should be a pretty solid indication to you that he is not a 12-team league guy. Damari Carroll is providing that value, 18-5 with 4 triples. I don't think the blue swimmer Alan Crabb is going to be back anytime soon. And D'Angelo had 39-9-8, massive from him. Dinwiddie also, 41 minutes, 22 points. He'd been a little bit quiet, so that's good to see that back from him. As for Jarrett Allen, I think he's a drop in 12-team leagues. You need to stream him in. His upside's not that high now. Stream his position, get more value, 10-8 in 26, while Davis had 6-14 in his 24. On to the Blazers. Lillard was great again, 31-6-12. And Seth Curry, the clear winner from the CJ McCollum injury, 20 points, 3 triples, 2 steals. He has 12-team value. The rest of this week, he is a 12-team league guy. Kanter had 12-10, always kills the Nets. Only played 21 minutes. That's, of course, going to increase. Well, Zach Collins, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 triples, 15 minutes. His production is going to increase, as we talked about. Flaming Mo Harkless played 40 minutes, 13-8 with 2 steals. The shooting percentages weren't there. He is a solid 12-team ad, while the Chief, Al Farouq Aminu,
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
He was shit. 6 points on 8 shots with 7 rebounds and 3 assists. But of course, all the focus there is on that Yusuf Nurkic injury. Let's now go and talk some DFS across the NBA. Now previewing Tuesday's games. Before we get into preview Tuesday's games, let's have a look at the perfect lineups on DraftKings. Devin Booker, Tyler Dorsey, Paul George, Jared Dudley, Yusuf Nurkic, D'Angelo Russell, Bruno Caboclo, and DeLon Wright for a total of 427. That costs 49,700. And then on FanDuel, Lillard, Carter Williams, yeah, Devin Booker, D'Angelo Russell, Rocket Rodney Hood, Bruno Caboclo, Derek Favors, Zach Collins, and Yusuf Nurkic for a total of 410.4. And that cost $59,700. All right, guys, let's talk some DFS now for Tuesday. A really busy Tuesday and an unusually busy Tuesday with 10 games on. The first game we look at, the Spurs at the Hornets. The Spurs are 3-point favorites. They're playing well. The total is 220, but the Hornets have instituted a new youth-type lineup, and that's playing well. Also, we don't know the status of Nick Batum. He's missed the last two games with an illness. Cody Zeller is out, unsurprisingly, while Tony Parker and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist are both listed as probable. I don't think they'll actually be in the rotation, even if they are ready to go. Devontae Graham's been playing well in Parker's absence, and we've seen a bit more Hernan Gomez replacing Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in more minutes for Dwayne Bacon there. For the Spurs, everyone now seems to be okay to go. We're looking at DraftKings pricing mainly today. The first game, or the first point position we're looking at is the point guard. Derek White's at 5,000, definitely been underperforming, but it is a positive matchup for Whitey. I think he is a GPP type of an option here who does have that 35-point upside. In fact, he has he had 37 points against the Hornets earlier this season, so he's really off at the moment, but it could be a nice turnaround. While Kemba Walker's at 8,600, he is going balls to the wall at the moment, 50 a night. At 8,600, far from a bad investment. I think he's a pretty strong option. Millsy, Devontae, Malik Monk, Bryny Forbes, nothing there really interests me. DeMar DeRozan's at 7,700. He is just crushing that number every single night. Love the cash floor with a decent tournament upside. Ballinelli, Jeremy Lamb. I'm not that interested here in Lamb at 6,200. I think that's probably a little bit too high for him. While Bacon at 4,000, the Baconator. Big games the last two in 30-plus minutes. If Batum does play, I think that limits Bacon's upside. If Batum is out, then Dwayne at 4,000, with his ability to, or his, I guess, tendency to shoot a lot, he can easily get to that 20-point mark. So he would be in play if Batum sits out. I'm not really that keen on Batum, irrespective of his status. The small forwards, Miles Bridges, is at 4,700. He's giving us 28 a night over the last five. That is more than enough at 4,700. So I think he is in a relatively strong spot, although his shooting has been good. And if that drops off, there is an element of concern there. Rudy Gay's at 5,400. Yeah, I don't really see the value in him. Marvin Williams, similarly. At center, Bill Hernan Gomez, 3,500. He's been giving us 20-plus a night. I think he is in play here, no doubt about it, with Cody Zeller out. I like him as a cash option. Poeltl at 42. We know that centers against the Hornets put up really good numbers in general. Poeltl has been a little bit hit or miss. I'm not sure his upside necessitates a cash option or even a GPP play, though. While LaMarcus Aldridge at 7,900. He's coming off a 74-pointer against the Celtics. Superb matchup again for LaMarcus, so I do really think he is a strong one. You've got Frank Kaminsky as another option there, but yeah, that's probably not going to be a good option in my opinion. Over on FanDuel, nothing massively standing out on this one. You got Aldridge, but he's up at 9,200, but the matchup could necessitate him being an option. Derek White as that GPP guy. Miles Bridges all the way up to 5,500 on FanDuel, which is probably bordering on being a little bit too elevated. Not super interested in him as a cash guy, but does have some tournament value. Kemba's at 93 as well, which I really like on FanDuel. The next game that we take a look at here, we've got the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving is resting.
I'm not tired.
No spread or total at this point. The Rock DJ Robbie Williams is doubtful. Al Horford is questionable. Jason Tatum is questionable. So obviously a lot of things can go in many different ways here with this Celtics lineup, with opportunities opening up. Of course, Terry Rozier is the guy we're all going to be on, all going to be looking at least with Kyrie out. But his salary has been proactively bumped, and that does take a lot of the value away. Now, if Tatum is out, it boosts Jaylen Brown. It boosts Gordon Hayward a bit. And if Horford is out, you're going to get Vanilla Tice and Aaron Baines coming in as options there. At point guard, Marcus Smart's at 4,600. He's been a little bit under lately, but the matchup is okay. And with Kyrie out, I think he is a pretty strong play here. Brandon Knight at 36. He was dreadful last time out for Cleveland, but he'd been relatively strong beforehand. I just don't see the upside. Well, Jordy Clarkson at 5,500, been a 30-point consistent producer over the last week or so. Not the best matchup. In fact, it's one of the worst going up against the Celtics, so I'd probably lean away from him. While the Padawan Colin Sexton up at 4,900. Now, last game, he didn't quite hit that 20-point real-life scoring mark, but still dropped 28 DraftKings points. He's been averaging 32 over the last five. He's not a bad $5,900 price point guy. I'd prefer him to Terry Rozier, who's up at 6,800. And I think there's a chance that Sexton outscores him, despite being $900 cheaper. For your shooting guards, you've got Jaylen Brown at 4,900, a real disaster for him against the Spurs, only 8 points in 25 minutes. If Tatum is out, I'd roll the dice back on Jaylen. I think there's a great opportunity there for him. Nwaba and Stauskas, they're not doing much. Jason Tatum at 5,800, I don't mind him for cash if he plays. I think the tournament value is pretty limited. He's just not putting in big performances. But even when he's sucking, he's putting 25-26 on the board, which is a solid enough floor. Gordy Hayward at 48, love that if Tatum is out. He had 32 with 34 minutes last game. He would become a strong option. While Marcus Morris and Chetty Osman are probably best left alone. For the big men, Larry Nance, love it at 5,300. Started last game, 31 points in 30 minutes. No reason he can't do that again. Kevin Love at 7,600, just dropped a casual 53 in 32 minutes. Both of those guys look to be in really strong spots. While Horford at 59, I love that salary for Horf, but will he play? And will he play decent minutes? That makes him a risky option, more of a tournament guy. Thompson, Baines, we're only really looking at Baines and Tice if Horford is ruled out of this game. On FanDuel, you got to love Kevin Love at 8,300. That was completely unintended, that pun. Well, Larry Nance up at 6,900.
Giggity!
That might be a little bit high for Nance. I'm not super sold on that. Tatum at 6,400 is not a bad cash option on FanDuel. And Rozier at 6,500. And while that is elevated, it's a much more preferable situation for Rozier on FanDuel than it is on DraftKings. 51 for Marcus Smart also comes in pretty strong, as does the 6,000 for Colin Sexton. The next game is the Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors. No spread or total for this game at this point. There is, I guess, a chance that the Raptors sit guys. Maybe the fun guy sits this one out.
I'm a fun guy.
We know that when Kawhi sits out, you get a big boost to guys like Pascal Siakam and then the Jedi OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He becomes a deeper league sort of a... sort of an option that you can, or not deeper league, sorry, a GPP. I've got my seasonal and DFS confused. He comes more of a GPP type of an option you can look at there for the Bulls. Zach LaVine is out. Otto Porter is out and probably done for the season. Chris Dunn is doubtful. So this is going to be an absolute bloodbath, you would think, and an opportunity for a lot of these Raptors guys to see their minutes limited. But what it does do is it opens up a lot of value for the Bulls.
Big Shaq.
Big Shaq Harrison, he is at 4,400. He's giving us 26 a night at the moment anyway. And now another one of that 1-2-3 combo is out, Dunn, Levine, Porter. Yeah, that's huge for him. Archer Jackano, 3,800. Love him. And then you got the shot chucker, Antonio Blakeney, who, to be fair, has sort of reined in his usage of late. He's at 3,400. He's going to get another opportunity. He's more tournaments, whereas Arch and Big Shaq, they can be, I think, cash plays here. Freddie VanVleet at 5,000. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes. I think they'll limit Lowry a bit, so I love that price for Freddles. And then you got Lowry at 7,000, who is just a tournament guy, but I worry here with the minutes of where Kyle will sit. For the shooting guards, you've got Wayne Seldon at 3,700. His opportunity definitely rises here with all these injuries. He's an interesting tournament guy. I'd have him over, say, Timotei Luwawu-Cabarro. You've got Danny Green, who I'm not all that keen on, Norman Powell and Patty McCaw. Maybe Powell would at 3,600. If Kawhi does sits, Powell would be the one of those guys I want to have a look at. As for the fun guy, he is at 9,100, which looks excellent. It's a great matchup for him on DraftKings at that salary, but does he play? I think you probably got to lean more towards tournaments for Kawhi. While Anunoby's at 3,400, really struggling to put up numbers, but an opportunity does arise if Kawhi sits as a GPP option. For the big man, Lowry Markkanen at 67, love that for Lowry. He's going to get so much usage in this game. While Mark Gasol at 6,000.
Oh, hi, Mark.
The thing you worry about with Gasol is the playing time. Now, he only played 23 minutes last game, but dropped in 40 points. He has historically annihilated the Bulls, but I still think there's an element of worry there. Siakam's one we got to look at. 7,600, I like it regardless, but if Kawhi does sit, that's massive for Pascal, and he should smash that number. Ibaka's a strong fade, while Robin Lopez, the numbers have actually dropped off for Lopez over the last week. It was always going to be tough for him to keep that level of production going. 5,300 is okay, but with the 10 game slate on deck, there are better options than Robin Lopez for your DFS lineup at that sort of a salary. On FanDuel, Archer Jackineau, Shaq Harrison, Antonio Blakeney, Wayne Seldon, Fred VanVleet, Lowry Markin, I think all of those guys are in play. Even Marc Gasol is a more favorable FanDuel guy at 6,300, but still, we're looking at him more as a tournament guy than any sort of cash reliability. Just it's a tough one to rely upon him in that sort of a scenario. Let's go on to the next game. We're looking at the Orlando Magic on a back-to-back, traveling to take on the Miami Heat. The Heat are 5.5-point favorites. Obviously, that's not a big travel from Orlando to Miami. The Heat are 5.5-point favorites, and the total here is 205. This is a key matchup for the last playoff spot. The Magic have been winning all their games recently, I think 5 or 6 in a row. They just knocked off the Sixers on Monday, so this is going to be big for them. Justice Winslow is questionable for Miami. Rodney Magruder is out, but he's not an impact guy. If Winslow is out, it boosts the value of James Johnson, the GPP value of Derek Jones Jr., and probably some value there for Goran Dragic, the Iron Shoulder. At point guard, DJ Augustin, a pretty easy game for Deej against Philadelphia. Only 25 minutes. At 5,300, I'd look for him to bounce back and put up a 30-pointer here. The Iron Shoulder himself at 5,400. The shooting, which was never going to stick, has not stuck, and the numbers have dropped significantly. 19-point average over the last three. The matchup, actually, Orlando's really good at defending opposition point guards. He's a GPP guy. Well, we've got to look at Mick Carter-Williams. 34 points today on Monday against the Sixers. Yes, some extra minutes, 20 minutes in the blowout, but at 3,100, he's not a terrible option to go for 20 points. He's not the best, but he's not a terrible option. It could be a little bit prisoner of the moment, a little bit chasing a performance from Monday and hoping it carries over, but he's played okay in this backup role in Orlando. As for Winslow at 6,000, if he does play, I wouldn't want to use him in his first game back. Well, Dwayne Wade at 5,600. I think there's actually real good value in Wade at that salary. Weza Wundu at 3,200. Nah, that's a no from me. Well, Evan Fournier at 5,300. He is rolling. 34 average over the last five, and at 5,300, I will 100% take that. He is a bit of a hit and miss sort of a player who goes on runs, and maybe this is the middle of a run, maybe it's the end of a run, but I think he is worth looking at because that's a solid salary. Joshie Richardson's at 6'4", that's a fade for me. Deion Waiters, not interested. Well, Terry Ross, stinker today, but we know what his normal pattern is. It's a big bounce back, so I really like Terrence Ross as a tournament guy. Aaron Gordon's at 68. He didn't have to exert himself too much against Philadelphia. I like him at that price. That's really, really strong. Johnny Isaac, you can leave that. And Jim Johnson at 42. I think if we do have Winslow ruled out, he becomes an interesting tournament guy. For the big men, let's look at Bam Bam Adebayo.
Bam! 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 Bam!
Just dropped a casual 49 last game in 35 minutes. There's always going to be the Spolstra minutes jerk that can occur, but I do like Bam quite a bit here. Well, Nikola Vucevic at 8,900, just as rock solid and consistent as it gets in that 45 to 50 point mark. Love him for cash really a lot. Hassan Whiteside's impossible to rely upon. Kelly Olynyk at 55. He gets value if Winslow is sidelined, but he is a little bit up and down, a little bit hit and miss as an option. Over on FanDuel, Deion Waiters at 42. If Winslow is out, I think there's not bad cash value. Low 20s floor, which is pretty strong at that sort of a salary. You got Whiteside all the way down at 5,500, who has historically really given it to Vucevic. Only be a weird tournament sort of a play, I think, here. While Bam Bam's up at 6,800 on FanDuel. That's okay. It's just a little bit too high. I like Wade at 51. I like Josh Richardson at 63. I like Vucevic at 9,900 as well. And Aaron Gordon at 7,200 is a decent enough FanDuel option. Next game we look at is the Houston Rockets and the Milwaukee Bucks. In Milwaukee, the Bucks are 4-point favorites. The total 227. The battle of Giannis versus Jim Harden, a high-quality matchup most likely. Eric Gordon is questionable with an ankle sprain. Now, he sprained that last game, returned to the game, and basically played out the rest of that game against the Pelicans, I believe it was. So I'm not sure of his status, but the Rockets have been periodically resting guys, and Gordon could be one of those options here. For the Bucks, we know that Malcolm Brogdon is out. Nikola Mirotic is also out for this team. Giannis is back in action, though, at point guard. Jimmy Harden's at 11,400. Didn't have to do too much against New Orleans. It's going to be a little bit of a different situation against Milwaukee, so I think he's good at that salary. Bledsoe at 7,200 is maybe not a high upside play, but a decent enough cash floor sort of a guy. Georgie Hill, Chris Paul, I'd probably fade both of those guys. At shooting guard, there's a whole bunch of weird ones here. Paddy Connaughton at 45, limited upside, but a relatively stable floor with all the injuries in Milwaukee. Sterling Brown at 31, 17 points in 17 minutes last game. That's great value return at that 3,100 mark. Do I trust it? God, no. Chris Middleton, 7,600. I think that's verging on a little bit too high there for Middleton, while Eric Gordon's at 54. I'll leave that one alone pretty confidently. Giannis at 11.3, absolutely love that. The best high price play on the board, in my opinion. So I'm all about Giannis at that sort of a salary. Danny House at 4,000. We'd really get on Dan House. If Eric Gordon is out, he'd play 35 minutes and should, you know, post 25-plus points. I'd really be in on him. And then for the big men, Capella's at 7,300. I think that's a fair enough price. The Bucks have been really, really good for opposition centers to put up numbers against, so that gives me some hope there. Ilyasova at 3,900. He could see an extended role here with Tony Snell out with the Bucks, so they could go back to that big lineup. He becomes an interesting GPP guy. Lopez at 61. Love what he's been doing. Strong floor, probably limited upside, but really, really strong floor play. If the Bucks don't go with the big lineup against the Rockets, you could get someone like Connaughton or even Sterling Brown start, and that would give those guys an extra boost in their value because Tony Snell's out, as I mentioned. On FanDuel, Ilyasova, Yanni, really like both of those guys here. Connaughton at 48. I think Middleton's a better FanDuel option than he is on DraftKings, and Brook Lopez probably about similar. Jimmy Harden's all the way at 12,000. There's some value in him clearly, but I'll probably lean more GPPs with the way that the Rockets have been trying to get as much rest into these guys as possible. But of course, if this game's close, that just goes completely out the window. Next game, you got the Hawks and the Pelicans. The Pelicans are 1-point favorites. The total is 240. That is a huge total. It's a nice stackable game here. Tone Davis is probable with back spasms. Lord Alfred Payton is questionable with a wrist contusion. So there are obviously some situations we need to pay attention to. Jrue Holiday and Etuan Moore are out. Frank the Tank Jackson, 5,100. Really, really like what Frank's been doing. A really strong matchup. You've got to get on board with him here, I think. His game really works well for DFS, and that salary is super appealing. Trey Young also crushing at 8,200. No worries with him getting to 40, like that value quite a bit. Lord Alfred Payton at 76. There are much better options on the board. For your shooting guards, Fantapants, Kevin Huerter, 4,200. He had 40 points last time against the Pelicans in his only meeting against them. He can do that. Obviously, he's had a couple of 40-point games this season, but realistically, just a tournament guy. While Bembry and Bazemore, they're not interesting to me. If Lord Alfred Payton is out, I think Ian Clark at 3,600 does become your interesting tournament guy because he's going to have to play a shitload of minutes in that scenario. For these small forwards, Kendrick Williams at 42, I don't really see it. Stan Johnson at 35, he had a weird game last time out, but I don't feel all that confident in him. While the artist, formerly known as Torian Prince, he's been putting up some really good numbers in the last couple of games at least. 5,200, I feel okay about him getting there. Vince Carter, Darius Miller, no. For the big men, the Baptist, John Collins, love it at 7,300. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, love it at 5,700. He is crushing numbers at the moment. Well, Julius Randle at 81, theoretically I love it, but his production, his minutes, they have been down the last three games, and it's a bit of a worry because prior to that, he was absolutely crushing it. So there's an element of risk there. Check Diallo, I'm out because Gentry's refusing to play him, while Tone Davis at 7,200. I feel like there's only downside in Davis at that salary. The FanDuel side of things, you got Frankie Jackson, which we like, Trey Young, Huerter, Prince. I think there's value in both of those guys. The Undertaker's up at 6,300. That might be pushing it a little bit too far, but I don't think it's that egregious of an option to look at. Let's go on to the next game. We're looking at the LA Clippers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Taj Gibson is questionable for the Wolves. Landry Shamet is questionable for the Clippers. At point guard, I like Tyus Jones at 58. I like the cash value of Tyus at 58. Not sure there's much tournament upside. While Louis Williams at 6,900.
Giggity!
He's been putting up some pretty good numbers, and you feel good about his floor, also with tournament upside. And if Shamet does sit this one out, Beverly at 53, I think is an absolute cash lock. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, love what Shai's been doing. Now, his salary's up to 5,700, which gives me an element of pause, but 33-minute average over the last five, 33-point average over the last five, gives him at least some level of appeal, and if Shamet is out, I think that does help him also. For the shooting guards, Josh Okogie's at 45. He's averaging 29 over the last three. I like him at that salary. Shamet at 37, no interest. While Andy Wiggins at 6,200 is not a bad cash play, but he's probably $300-$400 overpriced, and you can find better options around. For the small forwards, you've got the Rooster. Danilo Gallinari, 7,400. I feel like really that's a cash lock for the Rooster. Jermichael Green is the opposite of a lock. And then you've got Tone Tolliver and Wilson Chandler, old baby neck, not much to see. The big men, you got to love Towns. We know all season centers against the Clippers have gone off. 10,700 for Townsie, massive opportunity. Love him. Him and Giannis, the two highest price, the best high price options on this board on DraftKings, I believe. The table, Montrezl Harrell's at 71. I think his upside is limited because of the minutes he plays, and the floor is not, it's not that great at that sort of a salary. There are better ways out there. The 5,000 for Ivica Zubac isn't one of those better ways to spend center money, so I think I'd leave him alone. And if Taj Gibson is out, it does give Dario Saric at least some appeal for tournaments, but really it's just for tournaments. On FanDuel, Tyus at 6,600 looks okay. I love Townsie at 11,800. Okogie at 51 comes in pretty strong, and Saric would become an excellent option, I believe, if Taj is out. I also like Gilgeous-Alexander at 5,700 over on FanDuel. Next game up, the Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Mavericks. No spread or total at this point. Harry Giles is doubtful to play. That's going to mean more minutes for Bagley most likely, but also some minutes to Kostas Koufos. While on the Dallas side of things, Luka Doncic is questionable with knee soreness. I'd be pretty surprised if Doncic plays, to be honest. If he is out, that boosts Justin Jackson, it boosts Trey Burke, it boosts Jalen Brunson, and it boosts a little bit of Courtney Lee as well. At point guard, De'Aaron Fox is at 7,700. Just a really strong floor in a very positive matchup. Well, Doncic is at 8,500. I actually like that salary for Doncic if he plays. I just have the real concern that he's going to play, but he can be a tournament option there. The burner, Jalen Brunson's really been off the last couple, 22 average over the last three, only for tournaments at this point. Devin Harris, Trey Burke. Trey Burke at 36 would have be an option to me if Doncic happened to sit. For the shooting guards, Justin Jackson, I don't like this guy much as a player, but at 3,800 with the possibility of Luka being out does give him the ability where you go, well, he can get 20, and that's enough at 3,800. So I like Jackson in that regard. Budrick Hield's at 72, just fine for cash. We know what he does on a regular basis. While Bogdan Bogdanovic, he dropped 30 last game, and at 4,400, that's sexy. But he's also averaging just 19 over the last five, so there's a huge element of risk, and I wouldn't want to take it. The other guy who benefits if Doncic is out is Ryan Brokoff. He had 29 points last game. He played 25 minutes, and at 3,300, if you get that, that is a huge, huge performance. It could be chasing a little bit. But if Doncic sits out, I think Brokoff does become a GPP guy. For the centers, Dwight Powell's down at 5,900. He's been under that number recently, so it is a negative matchup against the Kings, who defend centers in a decent enough level. I'm not super into Dwight at that salary. Bagley at 7,300. He is crushing that almost every single night. All aboard Bags at 7,300. The pencil in his return to Dallas at 5,500. Cash fine. I just don't see much upside in what Harrison Barnes does. Maxi Kleber at 51. I think he's actually not a bad cash floor guy. The minutes are really solid. Well, Willie Cauley-Stein at 5,700. Now, the conundrum with Cauley-Stein is he's producing. He's just not playing. And that, to me, always feels unsustainable. So I'm not into Willie Cauley-Stein here in this matchup. Let's have a look on FanDuel. Justin Jackson's got that tournament appeal. Kleber I like. Fox I like. Barnes at 55, I think, comes in pretty nicely. Doncic at 9,500 is a bit high. I like Bagley at 77 quite a bit on FanDuel as well. The Detroit Pistons traveling to take on the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are 7-point favorites. The total is 211.5. Both these teams coming off pretty significant losses in their last game. Injury-wise, I think we're pretty okay here. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray's at 6,000, has not been anywhere near where he needs to be. He's a tournament guy here. Malik Beasley, Monty Morris, Ish Smith at 42. Even when Smith gets more of the minutes than Reggie Jackson, which has been happening relatively regularly, he's not a great producer here, while Jackson's a pretty strong fade. For the shooting guard, the Duck, Luke Kennard, he dropped 31 last game. He's producing 20 a night, and at 4,000, I'll take 20 a night. I think that he is probably more tournament, but there is something there. Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
Him and Fart and Will Barton are just tournament players at this point in the season. Via small forwards is literally nothing to talk about, and then we go to the big men. I love Blake at 78. That feels like an absolute dead set lock to get to that level of salary. So I do like Blake Griffin quite a bit there. Nikola Jokic is at 10,000, strong cash play, and Drummond at 87. I like all three of those guys. Big performances are incoming, I would hope. On FanDuel, Paulie Millsap's at 68. I like that option there for him, but still probably more tournaments. Kennard at 45, again, more GPP. Jokic I like for cash. Griffin at 86, I really like for cash over on FanDuel. The last game of the day, we're looking at the Wizards traveling to take on the LA Lakers. The Lakers are 1.5-point favorites. The total is 233.5. It's the first of a back-to-back for the Lakers. Will LeBron sit? Well, he's listed as probable with a knee issue, not the groin, so that's something to bear in mind. Reggie Bullock is listed as questionable, while Josh the Hitman Hart is out. I thought that Bullock would miss a few games. I still think he will, but they have listed him as questionable, while Trevor Ariza is doubtful for the Wizards, meaning another start coming for Troy Brown. At point guard, Tomas Satoransky is at 6,100. Cash value, really there. The minutes are huge for him, while Rajon Rondo at 6,100, very hard to rely upon him for cash. Alex Caruso, Jordy McRae, Chasen Randle, I don't really see it. Shooting guard, Troy Brown's at 6,700. I think he can get you 25 or 26 here, okay? So not a bad option in a good matchup. KCP's at 5,000, playing quite well. It's hard to trust KCP in a cash scenario, but maybe we have to, especially if Bullock is out. While Bradles Beal, 9,300, has been dropping off the last couple. I bank on him bouncing back here. Lance Stephenson's at 3,600. Probably more of a GPP guy than anything. For your small forwards, LeBron's at 10-2. He is giving us 60 a night. The minutes limit's getting blown through. He's not a bad cash option here if he plays, but the back-to-back gives me, an element of pause. Well, 6,700 for the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma. I feel like a 30-point floor for him is reasonable, and in cash, that's you couldn't ask for too much more than that. Well, Jabari Parker, the hot shooting, has dropped off at 6,300. There are better ways of spending that than him. Tommy Bryant, 5,200, against his former team, against a great matchup from centers. 35 minutes in the last two games. He should be a 30-point-plus guy here. I love him in this matchup. JaVale McGee also crushing it, 6,500. Great matchup. Love both of these blokes here. Punch Bob's at 6,100. Not a bad cash option, but we know that he can shit the bed very, very often. On FanDuel, Troy Brown, Tom Bryant, love both of those guys there, especially Brown at minimum salary. Kuzma looks strong. McGee at 75, maybe that's pushing a bit too far, but I don't have too much hesitation. Same with KCP at 5,400. The value is there. Beal looking all right over on FanDuel also. Let's look at some studs and values now. On DraftKings, it's Townsie as a stud and a value of Tom Bryant. On FanDuel, my stud is Kevin Love, and my value play is the minimum salary of Troy Brown. On Yahoo, my stud is Trey Young, and my value play is Big Shaq Harrison. And on DraftStars, my stud is Townsie, and my value play is Terry Rozier. All right, thanks for listening to this podcast, guys. Remember to subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Sir Stitcher, and on Spotify. Leave a review, that would be great. On YouTube, go smash subscribe, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, and click that little bell so you never miss an episode. And make sure you're checking out today's sponsor, Wyze, by going to wyze.com/locked. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Evan Fournier.